to co-op community organizations too. So about in 1971, I spent some time in Dallas working on, among other things, organizing a food co-op. And that food co-op started growing. As we had one here, a food co-op that had two dozen or more branches around the city, and our own farm and our own bakery, our own kitchen where we made yogurt and stuff. The similar thing happened in Dallas. It just exploded, and pretty soon there were branches of this food co-op all over town. It was became threatening to the power structure in Dallas because it was a place where people were getting together and discussing radical ideas and whatever. What they did in Dallas was they came in and co-opted it by making an offer that was too good to refuse. They said, we love these food co-ops so much, we want to help them. And so here's what we'll do. We will provide free buildings for your co-op food co-ops in different parts of Dallas. We will give you free food, free peanut butter and other excess government foods, and provide free utilities for you, all these kind of things, if you'll just sort of accept our offer, which they did. And then what happened is that as soon as they were in those buildings, then the government came in and started saying, well, you know, under our regulations, we can only allow people to join these co-ops if you show that your salary is under the poverty level, and therefore you have to fill out this paperwork. They took it over bureaucratically and then just smothered it because no one wanted to be involved in what had been something that started from the grassroots up.
And part of what made that stuff viable or important was the fact that it was community run. An interesting thing, by the way, I didn't mention anything about. Can I mention of our own? This is a little Space City story that I think is really amazing. It tells you a lot about what went on. But this is something people don't know about. Among the other issues that we dealt with, and like the power structure research, we also were dealing with the cultural wars. And one of the things is that people, there were the musicians, and then there were the people who profited off the musicians, and so and off of our music. And so that's the way we saw it. You know, we saw it sometimes in kind of stark ways. And there was a concert at Hoffman's Pavilion. The band Traffic was playing there. And I don't remember the details. I don't remember what the problems were, but there were things about the way the show was promoted, and people weren't let in, and there were people weren't treated right. And I don't remember exactly the details, but there was a near riot outside Hoffman's Pavilion. And one of the people in the front lines of that was our friend Dennis Fitzgerald, who was one of the editors of Space City. The next issue of Space City had this big front page story about the traffic, or the riot of traffic, and about the capitalist pig promoters who were, you know, ripping off our community and stuff. The capitalist pig promoter in question was a guy named Bill Ames. Bill Ames called Dennis and said, okay, look, he said, maybe some of this is true, maybe, you know, he said, I've got this place in the village on University Boulevard it was called the Catacombs, and it was a long-standing rock and roll hall. And he said, but I think it had closed, and he just had the space there. And he said, either that or else it wasn't, he was tired of the women out. So he said, hey, you guys want it? See if you can make it work. See if you can do this. You know, I'll give it to you. So we immediately formed a community board with people, representatives from different community organizations and stuff, and we renamed it Of Our Own. And, I mean, it was a thriving rock hall run by the community. And I don't know of any other place exactly like that that happened in the country. And we had major acts there. And it was very cool. So this was the kind of thing that we helped create, or that spun off. All of this kind of dynamic was happening during those days. So the community involvement was so important.
The Army Bill headquarters in Austin.
In Austin, yeah.
Another good example. Liberty Hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I got out of high school, which I think I was had an article in Little Red Schoolhouse. I hung out with the Vista Volunteers. Mm-hmm. And so weren't there...
Who helped support Space City.
Okay. They had Gestetner machines. That's when you were typing all your stuff on IBM Selectric typewriters because they had carbon ribbon. And you could put it on a machine and burn a stencil. Uh-huh. And that they were doing I still have some of those newsletters that they did back then. And some of the photographers, Vista photographers, I remember went to the peace marches, And there were cops. One of the pictures I think Larry Schaff got was a picture of a cop with a big peace symbol leaning against a tree in his gun holster. So they were covering it, you know, covering the peace march at the time. But I just wonder how many, there was a bunch of vistas that, did they support the RAG too?
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, I don't think, when was Vista formed? Was that a Kennedy?
Yeah, that was the Kennedy thing.
Volunteers, Vista was Volunteers in Service to America.
Which is now AmeriCorps.
It was the domestic peace corps.
But at the time, they would take people to rent strikes in the government cars, but they had to get out and get off down the street.
Well, Cam and Sue Duncan, there were six people that were the original founders of Space City: Dennis and Judy Fitzgerald, Victoria Smith, Cam and Sue Duncan, and myself. And we were the original collective. Cam and Sue Duncan were both an employee of Vista.
Okay.
And so they were supported by Vista. Their Vista supervisor knew absolutely what they were doing. I've heard from you recently, in fact. I don't know for those of you who didn't hear about it, we have a thing now called the RAG Blog, which came as a result of a reunion of the RAG staff a couple years ago. It was this incredible, 75 people came from all over the world, and we had this high energy event. See, the RAG lasted 11 years, 12 years. And we now have an online magazine, which is getting 25,000 hits a month. It's not a real big thing, but it's got a niche audience and stuff. So, what was my point?
What was
I going to
do? Well, it was when the Vistas, was there a lot of Vista volunteers or just Cam and Sue?
Cam and Sue were the only ones. No, there were some other Vista volunteers. Miles, the guy who was their supervisor, yes, just contacted me recently and was to tell us about how wonderful he thought the RAG Blog was. And he was the guy who paid their salaries with this. There were a couple of other Vista workers who worked around Space City too, yes, but not who were on full-time staff. So it was, you know, and we didn't have any qualms about that. They didn't have any control. You know, they didn't do anything. You know, and there's no programs that really work like that anymore.
No.
They put money into people's hands and let them go out and work in the community in their own, in the ways that they.
One thing we were able to achieve fairly easily for some reason was that we very quickly became unignorable. The power structure would have liked to have just not ignored us, just as for years, the black newspaper, community newspapers, and Hispanic community newspapers, and the gay community newspapers had been largely ignored. For some reason, they couldn't. Their children read it. Yeah, they came home, and they were always going to be on the news with the kind of things that we did. And I think in a lot of ways, the blogosphere has now achieved the situation where it's really hard to be ignored anymore. So the blogosphere has articles that they write, research that they do, that very quickly gets out in the national media that everyone's looking at. On the other hand, it seems in a lot of ways the blogosphere now is still very easy to forget somehow, that stories may be seen and quickly picked up by other media, but it's you don't have these things that stick around that people can hold up on talk shows or whatever, and so they can bring up stories and issues that get carried by the rest of the media, but the blogosphere itself ends up, I think, is easy to be forgotten, and I don't know how that's going to be. That problem is going to be dealt with so that it can be part of sort of more ongoing coverage of issues and of presentation of philosophical ideas or development of communities based on those.
So, you know, I mean, the blogosphere has become, by the way, did anyone not sign the list that emailed to get the RAG Blog Digest? The blogosphere has become, opposition force. I mean, you know, it really has. There's not any other it's become a power. It's become a powerhouse. And the interesting thing is that where, say, talk radio is the conservatives' domain, you know, the blogosphere has primarily become a progressive force. And if it weren't for, you know, Cy Hirsch is our most important journalist today. He's the I.F. Stone. And it's incredible. And he, of course, usually writes stuff for the New Yorker, but that stuff all gets all over the web immediately, and there's a lot of people writing on the internet, originating material on the internet. Darja Mayo is one, the Houston guy, who did incredible reporting from Iraq, especially from the Middle East. There's a lot of very important reporting going on online. Now, I don't know how that gets turned into action or how that gets, or what that means. I don't know. I don't know how what happens next. The problem is it's such that because of the technology and because it's just such a fast changing thing. You know, once you have a grasp of it, there's new stuff. You know, now they're trying to take away our books with Kindle. You know, all this stuff. It just changes. The picture changes. The dynamic changes continually. And so it's real hard to get a handle on it. But what we do know is that we have not only do we have the opportunity to have information out there, but we can reach people so fast. And so with all the networking tools that are out there now, and it's been used by, it was used especially by a few campaigns, progressive, and Howard Dean especially utilized it. Yeah. I mean, the Obama campaign did too, although now they're kind of ignoring the people who put it, the blogosphere put it, that really was the backbone of blogosphere. And even during the campaign, they didn't utilize it like, or empower the blogosphere like Howard Dean and some other people had. But so, I mean, it's becoming, but it's still, the things that you can do, the things that we used to do when people started doing grassroots organizing, there was a woman named Ann Lower, who organized the Montrose Democrats, she was one of the pioneers in getting people going door to door, hitting every door, talking to people, getting people involved. And as a result, Ron Waters, who was the state representative who represented the Montrose, who was a very progressive, would call himself a freak, was that kind of grassroots organizing that then was picked up by lots of other people. You can take that a couple of steps further now because of the ways you can reach people instantly. And then you've got their email. You've got them all. You know those are people that you can go back to, that you can build on those contacts. But I don't know what that means. I really don't know what that means, and I don't think anybody really knows what that means or how to use that or what happens next. It's a brave new world, and it's got kind of a scary one. Privacy is a concept of the past. We can fight as much as we want, but it's gone. Everything is, everything can be photographed, everything can be documented, everything can be, taped. Google can find your house in a minute, it's just a whole different world. So different from the world that we knew back then, and so the dynamics of how you make real political change, it's kind of a confusing time in that regard. Of course, it was simpler then because of the way we looked at it than it really was, because we were so.
What happened in the later years of the 70s was that this whole incredible community that we had on so many different levels sort of gradually disintegrated. And I think that the question of how do you develop a sense of community and of sharing is still one that the blogosphere needs to deal with today. And I see that there are attempts, certainly the Carolyn Collective here is an attempt to develop community institutions that can give people places where they can share ideas and have meeting space and equipment and things of that nature. But it's just still a really daunting challenge to figure out how you can develop a sense of community among any group of people that goes beyond maybe one church or one specific issue or something of that nature or one little neighborhood. It's a very difficult problem. And the blogosphere is wonderful for communicating and sharing ideas, but
it's very virtual.
It's very virtual and distributed so much,
yeah,
and ethereal.
It's very amorphous.
That it's hard for it to stick in any kind of
and
a way.
It's so
that
massive. There's so much, and that's part of the problem, I think, when you were talking earlier.
And it's so easy to spread misinformation.
Yeah, exactly. Whether you could have a geographically based group. I think there are a lot of geographically based, community action going on that's organized on the internet, but there's just such a, so many massive groups. There's so much that it's hard to coalesce. It's much easier to coalesce around a newspaper.
Well, I'll say, too, I'm going to talk about the Rad Blog a little more because that's something we're doing right now, and we're trying to do some of this stuff with it. And that's one thing, we've got flyers, we're trying to reach more people in Houston, but we're trying to do networking within Texas. We're now published by the New Journalism Project, which is a nonprofit that just obtained tax-exempt status. And one of the things we're setting up a website, and one of the things we want to do is to pull together and link with all the other kind of progressive websites in this part of the country, and to more hone in on specific targets, to try to do specific kinds of investigative journalism. And so we want, and the Rad Blog itself is sort of unusual, but it has developed this kind of niche audience worldwide. I mean, we have a very large number of international hits, especially among activists, among progressive activists, not just it's of people who are out there kind of doing things. So I'd really love to have, I'd really love to have people's input and have people involved. And there's not only flyers, but some cards over there on that table. So if we'd like to have news tips, we'd like to have people write for us, do videos for us, do multimedia stuff for us, whatever, to be involved. Yeah.
One thing I would say, Thorne, is that a lot of us all know kind of we're all from back in the old days, we're all kind of scattered. And when the Rad reunion happened, and then you got the Yahoo group, you were able to pull people back in. So in that sense, there's a Houston community out in the world that are back together. Mm-hmm. And a lot of organizing now, like my kids' PTA has a Yahoo group, and that also just doesn't do the stuff at the school, but it has spread to the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that virtual stuff, I think you're finding it in things like Yahoo groups and Usenets.
Yeah, listservs and things.
Listservs.
Yeah.
So I think that it's just, more people emailing it, hey, look at the story, and then you get a few more people to go, oh, let me check this out, and they see your side.
Yeah, that really is, that's very true. Yeah.
So, theoretically, we're doing a workshop after y'all, so I don't know how in-depth we should go, but like one experience in sort of underground press in Houston most recently has been the Houston Independent Media Center, which is part of the global network of independent media centers, and there's about half a dozen of us in this room that have been involved.
I post stuff to it sometimes.
Cool, sweet. So, I don't know if I should talk about that a lot, but it started locally in 2001, and there is a website which is Open Publishing, which is what our workshop is probably going to be about. And then we've had a film series since 2001 at Rice Cinema every month, and we have a radio show on KPFT every week since 2002. And we do some print collaborations.
Two print partnerships, so we work with the Houston Peace News and the Free Press. So we have a page in the Free Press every month, and we pretty much do the entire Peace News like a third of the year, and then contribute stuff.
How much independence is there from the national? I know it's just a totally separate thing, although you're networked with it.
They'll take stories from us to the global and to the national site, but it's just when the story, when we have people publishing to our newswire, and then we take stories out of the main features, uh-huh. And then the national site and the global site will take stories out of our features and make them into, they'll automatically come up on their newswire. So it kind of.
Let's talk about ways we can work together. Because that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do is kind of, we've already found there's a lot of progressive. Texas is one of the largest bloggers, has one of the largest bloggers in the country. Ironically, Texas is one of these sources, for progressive blogging. It was one of the first and one of the largest progressive blogging areas. But there's all this stuff happening all over the place. There's a little progressive, there's this, Prairie Power Pundit here, and there's Job Singer and Texas Chaos, and all these different sites that do stuff, but they're not. And there's some pretense that there's Texas Progressive Bloggers. There's these attempts to kind of pull them together, but still, we all need to find ways that we can get united in action. And a lot of these are in different parts of the state that don't have connections to other parts of the state. And I think it's ways that we can pull together, a serious progressive movement. We're interested. The Rad Blog does more than just politics. I mean, we do cultural stuff and we do a lot of other stuff. But still, our core is 60s activists. Now we've got a lot of other people. We've got people like Mark Webb writing for Ron Reidenauer, who's an old used to write for Rampart, who lives in Finland or something. We've got David O'Brien, who's writing for Berlin. So we've got people. We have about a half a dozen people writing for us from other parts of the world, Cuba. But we're trying with the New Journalism Project right now to start focusing more on regional stuff. Not to change the nature of the blog itself, but we're trying to create more stuff. We want to create magazine pages. We want to do a lot of things like that. But the very first thing we can do is we can network with other progressives. And I think Houston Indie Media, I don't know what the reach is, and I've been sometimes confused a little bit about the format. It's not, and I've had a little trouble posting. It doesn't seem to be real friendly in some ways, or formatting it.
On Houston Indie Media or on other?
On Houston Indie Media.
Okay, well, we'll do a workshop and see if we can.
Okay.
That
might be me, because you got to understand, I'm a techno doofus.
Yeah.
I'm an old school, and I started blogging. The coding I can do is block quote, bold and italic. I don't have a technological background. I'm not an IT guy. I'm not a I can't create websites. I'm a journalist and an activist. And luckily, and we're working. The Rag blog is on a template, Blogspot. Which limits us, because it's a blog format where it goes, just goes, So we're trying to get, away from that necessarily, because that's part of our strength, because it works with graphics beautifully. And that's one of the things we do. We're very serious about the look as well as, and we're also serious about the journalism, about the style. One of the things that the internet, the blogosphere, the news is tends to be very sloppy, not only in terms of facts, there's something, but more than that, in terms of, style, in terms of grammar, in terms of punctuation, in terms of consistency. And so we try to, we seriously try to be journalistic. And I have a little bit of different, I have a co-editor, and he's more of a ranter. The wonderful guy, he finds great stuff. But he doesn't like to edit people's stuff because he thinks that's censorship or something. Well, I have writers that would hate it if I printed their stuff without doing smoothing the style out a little bit. We have to find, if online journalism is going to be journalism, then it's got to be journalism to some extent. I mean, it's obviously a different form of journalism, but it's got to follow the rules. We have to fact check. We have to make sure that what we're putting out there, we have to have sources and state our sources. But we also have to do stuff like the Creative Commons. We have to do the same thing the Underground Press did. We have to allow everybody to reprint anything we do and not try to. Yeah.
So. Yeah, one way
that I'm ranting, I'm sorry.
I'm used to the media is that anybody can publish the news wire, they can publish conspiracy theories and lies and disinformation,
right.
Whatever they want.
Yeah. Well, that's not what we do, but that's still an important function. You don't have any control, you don't do anything. What if it's inflammatory? What if, okay, I'm sorry. I apologize.
And then there's several layers of kind of like going through that. So the first one would be like, if something looks like it's total nonsense, it's going to probably stay in this lowest category of the news wire. And if something's even worse than that, if it's like a racist rant or something like that, then it's going to go to the off of the front page section of the site. It's going to go somewhere else.
Did you leave it up?
It's still be on the website, but it won't be. You have to look under hidden articles, and we don't delete it, but it's not easily accessible unless you're looking for it specifically. Leaving it up means that somebody could look at it and say, "Oh, they made a good decision to take it down." Or
well, if you delete and delete it, it's still there. Everything's out there.
So then there's three newswires, so that we could say, oh, it's local, or it's global, or it's just kind of whatever.
Yeah.
And those are just the newswires. And then there's the next level after that, sorting through them between newswires, is where you say, oh, we should make it a feature. And then if it gets made a feature, then it's something that the editors approve of. Mm-hmm. And then the next level of sorting through it from there is that some of our features are going to become features on the Indie Media US, not all of them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of levels of kind of like saying, right. People saying, oh, this is worth, kind of promoting.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
how
cool.
Do you support your media center, and the bigger question of what kind of financial levels can we come up with to support blogs and support serious work that takes a lot of time?
Would you just primarily are an aggregator, right? I mean, people well, not exactly. That's not true. You are reposting other stuff. People post to you, but you don't have regular writers that you work with, anybody can post, and you just encourage people to post. And then you're then the people who I guess have, then you look at that stuff and decide what to do with it on the site. Is that correct?
Well, you know, if I wrote an article and put my name on it, then it would be clear that it was written by me. And if somebody that we didn't know posted it anonymously, then it would be clear that it was anonymous. So you know, different levels of that exist, but the heart of it is open publishing, so anybody could publish. And then there's this thing of, like, people say, oh, I want to get involved, I want to write stories. It's like, you can get involved, and you can write stories, but you don't have to do both. You can just write stories and don't have to come to meetings or anything, so.
And are we mostly, are we taking it? Is this your time to do this to your?
No, I think
no, it's just that. Yeah, it can't be. It'll blur.
Or are we just blurring it together? Yeah. Okay, that's cool. That's great. I think a real difference, and I think something to talk about maybe, is the question of whether you leave paid stuff up. Because I don't know. Maybe I can see open publishing, but I don't see so, like, if we have comments posted that are serious personal attacks, ad hominem personal attacks, are that are serious racist stuff, we'll delete them, and we'll say we've deleted it for that reason. I don't think that there's a place. I don't think that free speech includes hate speech. So that's that's maybe a difference. I don't know what other people think about that. Is maybe that's not in keeping young.
Well, Houston Indie Media, I would say, along with most indie media centers, some more than others, has been super vigilant of being on the newswire all the time over the years and quickly getting rid of all kinds of hate speech. We have website editing protocols that are listed on the website, and it very clearly says if this is...
It's not deleted. You just leave it on that lowest level.
No, it's not the lowest level. It's hidden. You actually don't see it. You have to go to a link that says view hidden articles.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
Out.
Because you want to be able to see
what
people are doing.
Another thing, which is that if somebody says, let's go to the house of Dwayne Bradley and kick his ass and put his address on it, we'll take his address down. That'll actually get deleted.
Yeah.
But racist
stuff. Well, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, racist stuff we wouldn't delete.
Yeah.
And that has happened.
Well, what if let's go to John Cornyn's office and scream at the
I can read our website editing protocols. So it includes that one is hide posts without consulting the author that in the editor's opinion advocate criminal activity with a specific time, place, and manner.
What is criminal activity? What if it's civil disobedience? What if it's
breaking a law?
So what if it's political civil disobedience but involves breaking a law?
I mean, it's up to the editor's discretion, but if it's, it would be something that we could hide if it mentioned
you wouldn't automatically
get a specific time and place.
You'd make a judgment call.
I don't think anybody's hidden anything about civil disobedience, but I mean, if somebody says, let's blow up the governor's mansion.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's all nice. Everybody's from that.
They already did that.
So here.
a friend of mine was on. Got kicked off. Was one of the few people who've ever been fired from KPFT in Houston. David McQueen was fired for it. There was some. I don't remember this again. I don't remember what it was, but there was some moving demonstration in Houston that was going somewhere, and he on the air called for a violent revolution. And so we're for the governor, and he even got fired. And now he's a hot shot guy with CBS or something. Anyway. You guys, do you guys want to take over the moderating?
Turn into a circle.
Okay, that's good.
So this is our website. If anybody has never seen our website, we will pass the laptop around and take a look.
Well, I love it. I posted, in fact, the article that you guys want to run in the first publication of the Zine Fest thing, or whatever it was, I posted that about the plan. The resurgence of the Klan and about with the stories about the Klan in the past. I posted that to him. And I see it reprinted.
That was
related
to Brandon Darby.
No, I think I posted that too.
Okay.
I think I did that. We were one of the first to publish stuff on Brandon Darby. We published a bunch of stuff. And so that's what we posted all over.
Can I get your phone?
Sure can.
Did anybody else want to sign the
email list for the Radblog. And you can
contact me on Facebook too. I can send you all that stuff from there as well.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe your individual email.
Yeah.
I haven't quite found it using Facebook. I still feel like I'm like sending a personal message to somebody that everybody in the world is going to see.
The inbox of you, you email somebody that's in the inbox, that's called.
Is it?
Yeah.
I have a whole bunch of them. I have all of them, most of them that I want to digitize to scan them. I have the big tabloid size scanner. So I'm hoping just to scan all of them.
That's my question.
Yeah. Do you have all of them also?
I have stacked on this.
Mine all got ruined in the flood.
Well, the Oracle. Oh, yeah. The Oracle put all of them on DVD and stuff.
You want me to stand up? I can stand up.
Check off the margin.
You know, we need to.
Yeah, I've been.
You need that guy. No.
Since I
smarter thing.
No doubt.
That's cool.